Welcome to It's All Geek to Me, a podcast where two friends experience popular nerdy franchises for the first time. My name is Leah, and this season my co-host Kelly and I will be traveling to a galaxy far, far away as Kelly experiences Star Wars for the very first time. And I'm the expert. Let's dive in.
And we're back.
We're back. Thank you for everyone who voted in our Twitter poll. We were deciding between doing Rogue One or Solo. Spoiler alert, we are going to do both, but today we are starting with Rogue One. And so we're going to end the season with Solo. And I'm very excited.
Well, are you ready for me to say something that's going to lose a huge portion of our fan base?
Yes, but first I'll let the fan base know we did already watch the first hour and 10 minutes of Rogue One. So Kelly has seen a bunch. She has an opinion and she's ready to share it with all of you.
I hate it. I hate it. It's so boring.
No.
How is this everyone's favorite Star Wars movie? It's so boring. I feel like I'm like watching a war movie in film class and I'm like trying not to fall asleep and my professor's like, you gotta take notes. You have to pay attention because there's going to be a test later. And that's how I'm feeling so far.
Well, Kelly, it is called Rogue One, A Star Wars Story.
Listen, the other Star Wars were cool because other stuff happened besides war. This literally felt like, I don't want to be inflammatory here, but it kind of felt like a little Middle Eastern war conflict.
Yeah, it does give war on terrorism. And I do have like massive opinions on that. Like there is a lot visually in this film that I really, really dislike. But I love these characters.
Yeah, and everybody says that. And I'm like, all I know about these characters is that they're untrustworthy. That's it.
Not all of them. Cassian's very untrustworthy, but I love Bodhi. I love Jin. I love...
You forgot to mention the best character of the entire movie.
K2. I know you love K2. Yeah. I don't know why, but I always remembered K2 as being a woman, but I guess K2 isn't.
I wouldn't say he's a woman.
Cassian definitely gave him he pronouns, but I remembered K2 as a woman who was in love with Cassian, and that is not...
Were you dropped in from another dimension where that was the story? Is this a Mandela effect situation?
Yeah, it might be. I mean, I think K2 still could be in love with Cassian, but K2 is not a woman.
I didn't get any love vibe. And you know, I will zero in on any potential romance. I did not get any romance in the story.
Maybe there's more in the second half that I'm forgetting. But yeah, Chirrut and Baze, I love them too. I just think they're just like a ragtag group of rebels who get sort of like thrown into this mission. And we're still only halfway through the movie, so we haven't gotten to like the main mission yet. Mm-hmm. But if you remember in episode 4, Princess Leia says a group of rebels stole the plans to the Death Star. Like, that's what we're seeing play out, which I find really exciting to kind of see these rebels that did this incredible thing that got the Death Star exploded in episode 4. We're finally seeing like how that all went down. And it does fill the plot hole of why they were so easily able to blow up the Death Star with just like one faulty reactor. Mm-hmm. I always really loved that expansion of the person who designed the Death Star purposely adding in that flaw so that it would be easy to destroy it. So I thought that that was cool too.
Yeah, that is a good point. And that does make me like it slightly more. But as you were saying that, I was just thinking that's so funny because I love when things are just conveniently like, oh yeah, no, somebody else did it. So we don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, but I love like the extra explanation of seeing the thought process behind that flaw getting added in. Like Galen's explanation for why he didn't, you know, end his own life or why he didn't try to escape, why he...
Ma'am, you are getting ahead of yourself here.
I know, I'm excited. Hopefully we can change your opinion. And if not, you know what? Agree to disagree.
We'll see how it ends. The war part is boring.
And I gotta say, if you don't like this movie, there's a very good chance you're not gonna like the TV show that I've been obsessed with pretty recently.
I feel like the name Andor, I thought that was a show, so maybe that's what you're talking about.
Ah, yeah, that's it. It's okay. A prequel story of how Cassian became a rebel.
Well, I don't think I'm going to watch that.
It's good.
I was actually thinking about it last night, and I was really curious to see if we would get the two things that I would say are the quintessential Star Wars intros, which is A Long Time Ago in a Galaxy Far, Far Away, and the opening crawl. And we did get the Long Time Ago in a Galaxy Far, Far Away, but we did not get an opening crawl.
Nope, no opening crawl. That only exists within the 9 movies. We never see it after that, even in Solo. But I think in Solo, we also get a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. But no opening crawl.
So I guess we just jump right into it. So we see a ship. It's flying through the rings of a planet. And let me tell you, I started off excited because this is a gorgeous planet.
Yeah.
We got like a beach. We got the rings of the planet visible in the sky, which is something I always love to see.
Yeah, that was a cool planet, cool shot.
I thought this was going to be important, but there's like a droid working on something and he sees the ship as it's flying by, and we see a little girl running and she runs into her house, question mark.
Yeah.
And her parents are there and they're packing up, and the mom, whose name is Lyra, calls someone named Saw, and she's like, it's happening, he's come for us. And Saw's like, you know what to do. And then we see the ship presumably landing in a field. And we also find out that the kid's name is Jin, and dad is telling her that he loves her, and he's like, everything I do is to protect you. Tell me you understand. And she's like, I understand. And he's like, I love you. And then they hug.
He calls her Stardust, which I think is cute.
Yes, he does. So then these, I don't know what to call them, but they're very prevalent in this movie. They're like stormtroopers, but in black instead of white.
I don't know. This is another thing that kind of bothers me too, is that there's really no continuity in what the enemy looks like, you know?
Yeah.
Originally, it's like, we're just stormtroopers. Like, episode 4, 5, and 6, it's just stormtroopers. This happens before episode 4, so I feel like we should be getting just stormtroopers. And I have more to say about the blasters, but I'm gonna wait until we get to the action.
Okay. So then the dad, I'm just gonna start calling him Galen because we learn his name fairly quickly. So he walks out to the people that are there. It's these stormtroopers in black, which I'm just gonna call stormtroopers. And then there's a guy in a white cape because, you know, you got to wear a cape. Why not?
Yeah.
And his name is Krennic, by the way, which we also find out fairly quickly. But then we also see a quick shot of the mom running with Jin. And the mom gives Jin a necklace with a crystal on it, which I assume immediately is a kyber crystal. And I'm pretty sure I'm right.
Yes, you are.
And she's like, you have to go hide. You know where to go. You have to trust the force. And then Jin runs off. And then we see Krennic meeting up with Galen, and he's like, it was hard to find you. And he's saying he was surprised that he's a farmer of all things with his talents. And he's like, oh, it must be pretty lonely. And Galen is like, yeah, ever since my wife died, which I guess he's trying to protect her. And I think you can tell pretty quickly that Krennic does not believe him because he's like, oh, my condolences. Search the house.
Yeah.
So then the stormtroopers go off to start searching, and Krennic is like, you got to come back. And Galen says, no. And I try not to write down the exact storyline just because we're doing this one in 2 episodes. So I'm not quoting it as much as I normally would. I just tried to write down the gist of the conversation.
Well, he says something about, like, if he comes back, he'll provide peace and security. And Galen is like, I think you're confusing that with terror. And I thought that was a cool line.
Yeah. He also says something which I thought was interesting, that they were on the verge of greatness before he left.
Yeah.
Which I really thought was interesting because it's always kind of wild to hear the bad guy's perspective on, like, we were about to cause so much destruction, but to him it's like, we were about to do something so great.
And it also shows that, like, if somebody is leaving the Empire, they can't just say, I quit, I'm leaving. He literally got to go into hiding and has to worry every day that they're going to find him.
So then, for honestly no reason, Lyra starts running up.
I know.
Why is she doing that?
What did she think she was gonna do? Because I feel like Galen was under the impression he was going to get taken, and he just wanted to protect his daughter and his wife. And he was trying his best. He's like saying, my mind is going, it's not what it was. And then Lyra has to come running in thinking she's gonna kill all these people with one blaster.
So embarrassing.
Yeah, so embarrassing.
And Krennic isn't even surprised. He's like, oh, there's Lyra back from the dead.
So monotone.
So yeah, she pulls out her blaster. Jin is watching, like hiding in the grass and watching this interaction. So you know a parent's gonna die because they love to kill off one parent in the beginning of a classic Disney movie.
Yep. And she didn't listen to her mom when she said go hide. She just came back.
Well, she is technically hiding.
Yeah, that's true.
So then I don't know even why this happens, but Lyra doesn't even try. I feel like she's just like, you can't win, or you're not gonna win.
Yeah, I feel feel like it would have made more sense for her to pull out the blaster and just start shooting. But it's like, you can't make a standoff when you have one blaster and they have like four blasters.
Yeah, it's gotta kind of be a surprise.
Yeah.
So yeah, so she shoots at Krennic and then a stormtrooper shoots her. Of course, the stormtrooper in this one instance ever has good aim and kills her.
Literally, they never hit their mark.
And she somehow has a stormtrooper's aim and she hits Krennic's shoulder and he doesn't even care. He's just like, yeah, she's got a kid. You gotta go find it. And I thought it was so wild how he immediately dehumanized the child and said it.
It, I know. I'm glad you noticed that. I liked that as well. Well, I didn't like it, but I thought it was interesting.
You liked it for the character to say that.
Yeah, yeah.
So then Jin starts running and now she's going to her hiding spot and a stormtrooper finds on the ground her doll that was discarded, which for literally no reason is a stormtrooper doll.
Maybe that's all they sell? I don't know.
I'm saying this all now with the lens of somebody who's not enjoying the movie. So if I'm a little snarky, I'm sorry, but it's just because I didn't really like it. But hopefully you can pad my cruelty with a little bit of niceties.
Listen, there are other Star Wars fans who agree with you. That is honestly the final test of being a Star Wars fan. You have to hate something. So
this is the one I hate now. So then Jin goes and hides in like a bunker, I guess, kind of like a sewer leading to a bunker, and they don't find her. And then we cut to later and she hears footsteps and someone opens the entrance. I wrote, it looks like Saw, because it is.
Yep.
And he's like, my child, come, we have a long ride ahead of us. And then insert title card.
And the music here isn't anything we've ever heard before, but it's similar, you know?
I was thinking that, like, some of these songs felt kind of like remixes.
Because it's a new story, pretty much, you know?
Yeah, not the Skywalker saga, my fave saga.
Yeah.
I'm just bitter about it being over.
I know. Well, you can watch them again. What happens next?
So then we cut to a woman, which obviously is Jin, years later. And she's waking up in another sort of bunker area that I thought, but it was pretty quickly revealed that she is in a jail cell.
Uh-huh.
So here is my first thought about Rogue One that happened. And at first I was like, oh my gosh, this is incredible. They should start doing this for every movie and they should retroactively add this to every movie, because every time we cut to a different planet, it tells us the name of the planet and what's going on there.
I did like that too. Yeah.
At first I was like, yes. And I started writing it down. But then after it happened like the fourth time, I was like, no, now I know why they didn't do it in the original movies. It's way too much. Why do I have to remember all of these names the first time I'm watching it?
Yeah, I guess you don't have to remember the names, but they never say Ring of Khafrin. We never are told where Cassian is in the dialogue, so.
But does it even matter?
I just think it builds the world out a little bit for people who really care about, like, the intensity of the lore.
I guess that's true. But there's just so many, it's hard to remember. And I feel like it would be easier to learn it as I rewatch it. But yeah, I don't know. So I'm a little conflicted on it, but
yeah,
it was definitely a lot. But yeah, so here's the first instance we see of it. We're at the Ring of Khafrin at a trading post, and we're in a crowded market. There's a lot of people there. And I wrote, some mustachioed guy is walking through. His name is Cassian.
Cassian Andor.
So he starts sneaking around. He gets to like this kind of back alley place in the trading post, and he meets some guy, and he's kind of freaking out. And he's like, I was about to leave. Like, you're late. And Cassian is like, I came as fast as I could. And then the guy tells him that an Imperial pilot defected yesterday, and he says that they're making a weapon with kyber crystals as a planet killer. And they started arguing, but at this point I was kind of lost about what they were arguing about. I know he said something about Saw.
So the pilot who defected has said that he was sent by Galen Erso and he's looking for Saw Gerrera because Galen knows that he can trust Saw, or he believes at this point that he could trust Saw and the pilot will be safe in his hands. So this is just basically a messenger getting Cassian this information so he could bring it back to the rebels.
Okay, got it. So then two stormtroopers come up and they ask for ID, and Cassian is like, oh, hold on, let me get my gloves. And then he bends over and shoots them. And the informant guy is absolutely horrified. And another stormtrooper sees it and calls for backup. And the informant guy is like, what are you doing? Like, I have a broken arm. I can't climb. I'm basically not going to be able to get out of this. And then Cassian comes up behind him in a very weird embrace moment where he's like whispering in his ear and he's like, it's fine. Everything's fine. Calm down. Calm down. And then he shoots him.
I have justification for this.
He's about to get tortured and killed anyway, so Cassian thought he was doing him a favor.
Yes, because the troopers showing up behind them was obviously not a part of the plan, but there really was no way to, for them to get away from the troopers. If they had to get their IDs out, the troopers would have arrested them. Mm-hmm. Cassian has to kill the troopers. In killing the troopers, he creates sort of a riot. His friend can't climb up. So if he doesn't kill his friend gets arrested anyway, probably gets tortured, probably reveals information about the rebels. And I think that the rebels, when they become rebels, they're willing to die for the cause at any mm-hmm. cost, you know? So yeah. In this instance, Cassian was protecting the greater rebels and the Alliance rather than this one person who is going to die anyway.
So I want to put a pin in that because I do find it annoying. I love when characters are morally gray like this. I think it's really fun. I hate when characters are way too like, I won't even kill. The only time this bad guy will get killed is if his bullet ricochets off of me and kills him. So he technically killed himself. Like, that's too much for me. But what annoys me is when these morally gray characters pick and choose when they're going to be morally gray. Like, we'll talk about it later, but just to give you a hint of what I'm talking about, later, Cassian is refusing to let the rebels shoot on that platform where Jin is. And he barely knows her. Why couldn't she die for the cause as well, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He's willing to just shoot his friend, but he is now all of a sudden, he's like, I gotta save her. And like, yeah. The times where they're willing to kill other rebels, but then they're, oh, I have to save this baby crying in the street. You know what I mean? It's just like, I don't like when they pick and choose.
I agree with that. And I also have justification for that, but we'll put a pin in it till we get there.
So then we cut to Jedha, which my first thought was, is this where the Jedi originated from because of the name?
Because that's where the temples are and we learn about the guardians of the temple and stuff like that. Yeah.
And I actually thought Jedha was pretty cool looking. It's like a desert and you can see, I thought at first they were just rock formations, but looking at them a little bit closer, they are fallen statues.
Yeah.
Which I thought was cool. I love that.
I did too.
So we've got, at this point, I did not know what was going on, but now that I have seen more of the movie, I know what's going on. So I'm going to try my best to explain it better now.
Yeah.
Better than my notes made it. So we've got these alien guys, they're in a group and someone is being led to them, which turns out to be the pilot, the Imperial pilot who defected. And he asks the main alien if he saw, and he's like, I need to speak with him urgently. And meanwhile, another one of the aliens is kind of patting him down and checking for that message.
Weapons.
And then he's trying to fight with them, but they put a hood or bag, whatever, over his head and they lead him away. And he's like, we're on the same side if you just see past the uniform for a minute. So that's kind of the hint that he is the pilot guy.
The pilot, whose name we find out much, much later is Bodhi.
Yeah, I didn't write it down at all, but when I first saw him, I was like, this guy is familiar. Where do I know him from?
Oh, from like everything. So this is Riz Ahmed.
So I actually didn't get that was him until he started speaking right at the end of this section. And I was like, wait, he was in that HBO series. Did you see that limited series?
It's so good.
That was so good.
I think he got nominated for an Oscar last year.
Did he? For what?
It was called Sound of Metal. He played a metal drummer who loses his hearing.
Ooh.
It's so good.
I feel like he's the type of guy who's like only in movies that are like get awards. You know what I mean?
I watched an interview with him where he said doing stuff like Star Wars and stuff is really fun, but he kind of feels at home in the indie circuit of films and stuff where he's not going to make a lot of money, but he's going to feel really like impassioned about the material.
Yeah, was excited to see him. It literally took me the whole section to place where I knew him from.
He might be my favorite character in this film.
My favorite character is K2.
Yeah.
We already knew that.
Casey's great too.
So then we cut to Wobani, which is another planet. It's an Imperial labor camp. I don't even see it. Like, this is a great example. I didn't need to know this name. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I didn't even write that one down.
Yeah, especially because I don't think we ever go back here. I'm sure we don't.
No.
So we see Jin. She's being transported. She's chained up and she's got, there's another prisoner in there and then there's a couple stormtroopers and the transport stops and the stormtrooper's like, what's going on? Like, I thought the transport was already full. And someone shoots down the door and they start attacking the stormtrooper, shoot them down, and then they uncuff her. They set a name to her, Liana Halleck. They asked if that was her and she nods. And I thought at first that they just mistook her for somebody else. And the other rebel guy is like, wait, unchain me too. And then she kicks the guy who rescued her and then starts running out of the transport. But then she gets stopped literally by a droid who we later find out is K2. And he's like, congratulations, you're being rescued, which I cackled. That was so good.
K2's got got some incredible one-liners throughout this.
I think I just love the droids in this franchise.
Yeah.
I can't decide if they're, like, kids or if they're, like, old people, but they just have no filter.
Yes, I agree with you.
Meanwhile, at Yavin 4, another planet, the names, it's just such arbitrary names. I feel like they could even just say Rebel Alliance headquarters.
Yeah.
And then you could learn the names. But then again, I am the same person who complained not one episode ago saying, they never say the names. They never say the names.
We definitely have been to Yavin before, though.
Oh, wait. I was thinking that. It kind of looked like the place where that guy was giving a speech about the rebels, but I don't remember the details.
And do you remember there was like that one lady where we're like, oh, this one lady randomly showed up. I think it was in episode 6. We'd never seen her before. Mm-hmm. She had the short hair and the white dress. And we're like, who is this person? And then someone commented, oh, don't worry. We're going to see her again. And there's like a huge side story about her. Well, she's in Andor and she actually is in this scene.
Oh, nice. So yeah, they took the girl here, the girl who is Jin. At this point, I wasn't 100% sure if it was her. And then some guy goes up to her and he is like, you've been calling yourself Leanna Halleck. And then he reads off her list of crimes, which I didn't bother writing down because it doesn't matter.
Yeah, something about unsanctioned weapons.
And he's like, imagine if they knew who you really are, Jin Erso. And he's like, that is your name, right? Daughter of Galen Erso, a known Imperial collaborator on weapons development, which I feel like he thinks is such a gotcha moment, but it's so not.
Yeah, yeah, definitely not.
And we also have Cassian watching, aka Mustache Man, as I wrote him down. And she's like, what is this? And then the woman who I'm pretty sure you're talking about is like, this is the chance for a fresh start. You might be able to help us. And then she introduces Cassian and says, this is Cassian Andor, and he is the captain of Rebel Intelligence.
So this woman, it's funny because we never hear her name spoken out loud until Andor. So she's also in the Andor series.
So what you're telling me is basically the entire franchise of Star Wars keeps on coming out with new things to fill in the plot holes made from previous movies.
Bingo!
That's why Disney keeps on pumping out new content.
Yeah.
Wow. So Cassian asked her, when's the last time she was in contact with Galen, aka Daddy? And
yeah. Daddy.
She says 15 years ago, and he asks if she knows where he might be, and she says, I like to think he's dead. It makes things easier. And Cassian says, easier than what? That he's been a tool of the Imperial war machine. And she says, I've never had the luxury of political opinions. And he asks when she was last in contact with Saw. And she says, it's been a long time. And he's like, but he'll remember you if you wanted to meet with him. So he's got a plan in his head to use her.
And I think that this kind of does make sense, you know? Let's find Jin. We need to get Saw on our side. And Saw thinks of himself as a rebel, but they think of him as an extremist. Like, he's not in the same cause as they are.
And meanwhile, the guy who seems to be running the rebel base, he starts prodding at Jin, and he's just like, if you can't give us any information, we'll just put you back where we found you and you can be in prison again.
Mm-hmm.
And so she does confess that he saved her life and he raised her, but she has no idea where he is. And Cassian is like, oh, we know where he is. We just need you to get us in the door because he would kill us otherwise because he's an extremist.
Yeah.
Which honestly, I do see that. He seems like a very paranoid man who is not listening to the Rebel Alliance.
Absolutely. No, he's on his own path, 100%.
So then Jin asks what all this has to do with her father, and Cassian says that an Imperial pilot defected and he's being held by Saw, and he's claiming that the Emperor's creating a weapon with the power to destroy planets. And he says that he was sent by Galen. At this point, I thought that maybe the pilot was Galen, but obviously it wouldn't be because Galen's not a pilot.
He's an engineer.
So yeah, apparently Galen, aka Daddy, is critical to the development of the planet killer. And so they need to find him.
So you keep calling Galen Daddy. Do you have a crush on Galen?
He's Jin's daddy.
Daddy, okay.
He's just her daddy.
Speaking of daddies, did you see who showed up at the end of this scene?
No, who was it?
Leia's daddy. Bail Organa.
I missed that, or I didn't know who it was.
Yeah.
Wow, two daddies, one scene?
Yes.
Wow, you love to see it.
Anyway, what happened next?
So yeah, basically the gist of it is that she does agree to it because they say she's going to go free if she helps them. And so they head onto a ship, her and Cassian, and then Cassian gets called away for a second by the rebel guy who's running stuff down at the base. And there's a droid named K2SO, aka K2, who is the best character in this movie. movie and the only reason that I continue watching. And he is the one who congratulated her. And he says he's a reprogrammed Imperial droid. And he's like, oh, you're coming with us to Jeddah? And she's like, yeah. And he's like, I think it's a bad idea. And actually, Cassian also thinks it's a bad idea.
K2 does not hold anything back.
That's why I love him. Mm-hmm. So then the guy, meanwhile, is telling Cassian that if he finds Galen, he has to kill him because he's vital to the building of the weapon. And basically, they need him killed before it's finished.
I do like this conflict that gets added in, that Jin is going on this mission where she doesn't know that the secret mission is to kill her daddy.
Oh, I'm glad you're calling him daddy.
Yeah, I gotta get on board with you.
He's not an unattractive man.
He's not an unattractive man.
He's daddy. So then Cassian goes onto the ship and he tells Jin that K2 just does not have a filter, so don't mind him. And K2 is like, why does she get a blaster and I don't? So Cassian is like, wait, why do you have a blaster? And she's like, don't worry, I know how to use it. And he's like, yeah, that's what I'm afraid of. Give it to me. And then she's like, we're going to a war zone, so I kind of need my weapon. And he's like, where'd you get it? And she's like, oh, I found it. And K2 is like, I find that answer vague and unconvincing. And then Jin is like, trust goes both ways. And then he nods, he hops into the captain's seat, and K2 is like, do you want to know the probability of her using it against you? And Cassian's like, no. And he's like, it's high. And then Cassian's like, let's just go. And he's like, it's very high, which is great and true.
Yeah.
So meanwhile, the pilot is taken to Saw. And I gotta say, I am confused as to how word spreads so quickly when he hasn't even seen Saw yet. Like, how does everybody know that he has this? Like, he literally just told the entire world? Or
my assumption is that someone within Saw's ranks is in cahoots with the rebels.
Oh, wait. They actually did say that a little bit later, that they know a guy who's a contact that works with Saw, but he went missing. So then the sister was going to potentially be their contact.
Yeah.
That makes sense. So anyway, Saw is not how I remember him, because he is a cyborg.
Is he a cyborg?
Yeah, his feet were not human feet anymore. He had metal feet.
Oh, I didn't see that. I mean, I do know that he has a lot of injuries. And I'm curious your thoughts on this, because it's never explained. So it's sort of like fans have come up with their own opinions. Is the breathing device to help him breathe, or is he breathing spice?
Oh, I thought that he was struggling, because I wrote that he was asthmatic, because at one point he struggled a little bit too much and then he started breathing it. I guess that could also mean that he's doing drugs.
I think because it's a Disney movie, I think they left it up to interpretation. So the kids will think it's a breathing device and maybe the adults will think it's spice.
Although, you know what's annoying? Would be great to have a hero with asthma.
Yeah.
Why do all the bad guys have breathing problems? I have breathing problems.
Yeah, I don't know.
So yeah, the pilot tells him that Galen Erso told him to find him and give him the info. And then Saw says Bor Gullet, and the pilot's like, Bor Gullet, what does that mean? And then they just cover his head again and take him away. Very ominous.
Yes.
So then meanwhile, we also see an older version of Krennic, and oh my goodness, he is meeting with Tarkin. And the first thing that came to my mind is, these faces are so weird. Are both of these people CGI?
Just Tarkin is CGI. And I have to say, I don't love this. That actor has been dead for a very long time.
Ew.
And I don't like that they CGI'd him.
Yeah, why couldn't they just get somebody else who was reporting to Tarkin or something?
Or they could have just gotten like another actor.
Or a younger version of him.
He wouldn't be younger, because this literally is like weeks before episode 4 starts. Maybe days before episode 4 starts. So he'd be the same age, and maybe that was their reasoning, but it's like, you're taking jobs away from actors. Or I mean, not really, because they had to have an actor on set like doing the motion capture, but like, why couldn't that actor do it?
Actors get replaced all the time. Imagine you're dead, and after you're dead, people use your face and your voice to manipulate into like a character.
I'm not a fan.
This is such a side note, but like the holograms of dead people that they're doing now, I don't love that either.
No, I don't like it either.
Not great. But yeah, I was wondering, I thought there was something off with Krennic's face too. So did they just age him down in the beginning?
Maybe. Yeah, I'm not sure. But no, he's not CGI.
So they're overlooking the Death Star, which is actually pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And Tarkin is annoyed. He says apparently Krennic lost a very talkative cargo pilot, which again begs the question, how does everybody know?
Well, they know that the pilot's gone.
Yeah, but they know that he said some information because he's very talkative. I don't know. So they have a little back and forth. And then Tarkin says that they should test the weapon immediately because he's concerned concerned that too many people will flock to the rebels, and Krennic has made time an ally of the rebellion. So he says a way to solve both problems is to test the weapon immediately. And scary. He says if he fails, he's going to have to explain himself to a much less patient audience, which we have to assume is the Emperor and or Vader,
yes.
aka Darth, aka Daddy Number Three.
So do you think that Daddy Vader is going to show up in this movie?
I don't, but I would love to see it. That's an easy character to just throw in anytime.
Yeah.
So then Jin is sleeping and we see like a flashback of her dreaming about her dad, and he says he's always going to protect her. He calls her Stardust again, and her mom is like, you got to trust. But then it cuts her saying trust, and then it said like the dad's name, I think. It was like weird cutting to make it seem like you should trust your dad instead of you should trust the Kyber crystal. And then she wakes up and she grabs her Kyber crystal that she still has around her neck. Mm-hmm. So then she looks out the window. They're still on the ship, and Cassian points out Jedha, which is right there, and he says that's Jedha, or what's left of it. And he also says if we find Saw, we'll find your father. So then they land on the planet, and there's a Star Destroyer right above the city where they're going, which I guess is Jedha City. And it looks like they are stripping the temple of all the Kyber crystals, which now they know is the fuel.
Yeah, and the reason that he says like what's left of Jedha is because Saw has been terrorizing this planet, and the Imperials have been fighting back.
Yeah.
Well, I'm making it sound like the Imperials are the good guys here.
Yeah.
The Imperials are definitely the bad guys.
Yeah, but Saw is not a great guy because he is also causing a lot of trouble.
Yeah, because he doesn't care to protect civilians, as we see later.
Yeah. So then we cut to the pilot, whose name I still don't remember.
Bodhi.
And he's hanging out with a nasty looking squid who is Borgullet.
Yeah.
So Saw is watching it and he's like, he can feel your thoughts. No lie is safe. So we'll see if you're actually being honest. And then Borgullet starts sucking on his face and his brain. And he's like, he's going to find out why you're really here. But a side effect of Bor's power is that one tends to lose one's mind. So bye-bye, pilot, whose name, again, I forgot.
Bodhi.
Bodhi. I know Bodhi. Good guy, Bodhi.
He's a good guy.
So then we cut back to Jin and Cassian. I don't think I mentioned this, but there was a whole little back and forth with K2 where he wanted to come with them. And Cassian is like, you're not going to blend in. And he's like, I'm literally an Imperial droid. Like, I'm the epitome of blending in. Mm-hmm. And he's just like, no, you got to stay here. So he leaves him behind at the ship.
Yeah. And Jin says something like, you know, if someone shoots at you, I don't want them to hit me. And K2's like, I mean, that wouldn't be the worst thing.
So they do not like each other.
No, they don't.
And there's also a comm that's being played in the city that's saying, like, anyone who has info on this cargo pilot, you got to come forward and you can get a reward. If you do, but you have to do it.
Yeah.
And then Cassian tells Jin what I just talked about, that he had a contact, which is one of Saw's rebels, but he did go missing. And he said his sister will be at the destroyed temple, so we can talk to her. And then Cassian's going to give Jin's name and hope that they get to meet with Saw. And Jin is like, hope, which is just a running theme in Star Wars movies, because Cassian is like, yeah, rebellions are built on hope.
Heck yeah.
So then he's like, wait here. And he goes to talk to somebody. And then some blind guy whose name is Churrit is yelling, may the force of others be with you, over and over again to people who are passing by. And Jin notices him and he calls out, would you like to trade that necklace for a glimpse into your future? And Jin's like not sure that he's talking to her, because one, he's blind, and two, her necklace is hidden.
Yeah.
But he is like, yes, you. And then he waves her over, and that's where we get his name, which is Churrit Imwe. And she asks how he knows that she's wearing a necklace, and he's like, for that answer you must play. And he's like, what do you know about Kyber crystals? And she says, my father told me that they power Jedi's lightsabers. And then Cassian calls Jin back and she walks away. And the guy calls out and says, the strongest stars have hearts of Kyber. Mm. Which I wasn't sure if that was like supposed to be a metaphor or if he's genuinely saying like they're going to be blowing up stars that have Kyber crystals on them.
I mean, I think it also is a metaphor, because I think he's sort of dancing around the thought that he thinks she has the power of a Jedi.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, Cassian's pulling her away and he's like, we're not here to make friends. And she's like, who are they? And he says, they're the guardians of the wills, the protectors of the Kyber Temple, but there's nothing left to protect. And she's like, why are you so tense all of a sudden? And he's like, we have to hurry. This town is ready to blow. Mm-hmm. And we see a convoy of stormtroopers, and they're talking about how Saw is terrorizing the people and he's not doing a good job and they have to protect them from him. And Jin notices people on the rooftops, which definitely look like assassins.
This is where my thoughts come in about this whole scene. It's hard to talk about because, you know, we had mentioned something that happened in episode 7 where there was a salute that reminded us of a Hitler salute. It's very easy for us to talk about something that we're directly affected by. This is not something we're directly affected by, but I feel like I can see how people would be when you have characters that are being called terrorists that are dressed like people that we know as Middle Easterners, that people who are xenophobic consider terrorists. I think it perpetuates xenophobia. Also, the fact that all of a sudden their blasters are like automatic weapons, which we've never seen before.
And bombs.
I hate this scene more than probably anything, maybe even more than the casino side plot, just because I just think you have your mind to create something new. Why are you pulling from something that is potentially extremely problematic?
And I think already knowing, even from the beginning of this franchise, that there are a lot of fans that are racist and xenophobic, as we've heard from even just having some good guys be non-white characters.
Yeah.
It really stinks that they decided to pull from this sort of real life thing. And I don't think that it's very fair.
No.
And I think that they have already in this franchise spent so much time pulling from real life when they really could just make up anything. I mean, even just the list that I gave you of all these planets that are like just random planet names that they just made up. They couldn't just make up a species of aliens that does this sort of thing.
Yeah, or make up some way that they dress, some way that they're uniformed instead of making them look this way. I just think it's insensitive.
It's a lot, yeah. And on a desert planet, and it's just very pointed. And whether or not it's intentional that way, it definitely comes off that way. And I think that's part of why I did not connect with the story, because I felt like, and I texted this to you, I felt like this was just like a war movie that they could have taken out the Star Wars part of it and just made this like Middle Eastern war movie and that's it, you know?
And I almost think it's like treating your audience like they're unintelligent, like they can't imagine someone who looks differently to be a terrorist. It has to be terrorists that we know is the only way that we'll be able to identify them. And I just think you're treating your audience like they're dumb and they can't connect with the story otherwise.
And I think that was, like you said, a major problem that we had with the third trilogy, because in the first two trilogies, yes, there were bad guys. And yes, we could liken those bad guys to like genociding figures in history, but they weren't like exactly those characters. Like they made a version of them that felt different where you could potentially connect the dots. But then once Disney took over, they were like, our audience is very dumb. So let's make it super easy. The bad guys are Nazis. And also, these terrorists are going to be Middle Eastern and have bombs. And it's just like, it doesn't need to happen. We have seen from previous movies that they could do something else, but they chose to do this. Yeah. It is a choice.
100%. Like, you can, of course, have the conversation of how the actions correlate to things that have happened in real life. But when the visuals correlate to real life, I just think it's lazy. Much. I think it's inappropriate. And I didn't like this scene.
It'll be interesting to hear people's thoughts on that, just because, you know, like you said, it's not really our place to talk about it. But even we, as people who are not directly affected by it, can sense that this is not great.
Yeah.
So with that in mind, let's talk about what happens in this scene. Somebody throws a bomb at the convoy and a fight breaks out with all these blasters, which are now automatic weapons, of course.
For whatever reason.
And everyone's shooting. And then Jin and Cassian hide with their blasters out, and Jin is like, looks like we found Saw's rebels, and there's some kid crying randomly in the street, and Jin is like, I gotta protect her, and she goes and runs and grabs her, and then Cassian is like, Jin, no, but she does it, and then the mom magically appears and grabs her, which she wouldn't have done, I guess, if the kid was about to die in the middle of the street, but now that she's half protected, mom's willing to go save
her. Mom like showed up out of nowhere.
Yeah, don't love that.
Yeah, maybe we'll get a side story about that little girl one day.
Which plot hole is she going to cover up?
Yeah.
So then someone's about to throw another bomb, but then Cassian shoots him down, which I wrote, for some reason, I guess to save Jin.
But it's also helping the civilians. Like, the point I was making before about Saw is he sends his people out to kill the stormtroopers, but he doesn't care if civilians get killed. So by Cassian killing this guy, he prevents, like, a bomb going off and killing all these civilians.
Yeah, but I do feel like at this point, most of the civilians are gone.
But that little girl who's going to be so important.
That's true. She's going to have her own side story. So then everybody starts swarming in to the tank and they're pulling out kyber crystals. And we know that they're kyber crystals because they speak in an alien language except for the word kyber crystals. So they're like, blah, 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 kyber crystals, blah, 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 blah.
Amazing.
Very convenient that kyber crystals is a universal word. So then Cassian shoots down a stormtrooper and runs through this like empty alleyway. But then there's a ton of stormtroopers that appear and they start shooting at him and he starts running away. And magically, they all miss him completely, which is crazy. And I know that that's a running joke in the franchise, but this is the time where I was super annoyed because this is the most obvious situation where there's like seven of them all shooting at him and they miss and he's just running in a straight line. Yeah.
That plot armor is thick.
And then Jin pulls out like a baton and somehow she is better with a baton than they are with their guns, even though they're in close range and can kill her. But no, she knocks them all down because, you know, plot.
Well, it's hard to actually shoot that close range.
Not with a blaster.
Yeah, true.
And then Jin shoots a droid that looks exactly like K2 and then he pops up and he stares at it and he's like, did you know that wasn't me? And she's like, yeah. Yeah.
Definitely. I definitely knew it wasn't you.
Yeah. And Cassian is like, I thought I told you to stay on the ship. And K2 is like, you did, but I thought it was boring and you were in trouble. And then someone throws a bomb at them and he catches it. And then he just tosses it at a group of stormtroopers and blows them all up. And he's like, I guess you're right. I should just go wait on the ship. The sass. I live for it.
That was an incredible moment from K2. Yeah.
So then they run back to the ship, but then there's stormtroopers everywhere. So then they try to walk away. And then we get another amazing K2 moment, which solidified him as the best character in this movie and the only character I really like. So a stormtrooper stops them and he looks at K2 and he's like, where are you taking these prisoners? And K2 is like, these are prisoners. And he's like, yeah, no, I get that. Where are you taking them? And he's like, they're prisoners and I'm taking them to imprison them in a prison. And Cassian is like, he's taking us to... And then K2 smacks him in the face and he's like, be quiet. And there's a fresh one where that came from if you mouth off again. And then the stormtrooper's like, we'll take them from here. We need to check your diagnostics because something's wrong with you. And then they start pulling them away. And then Churrit stands up and he's like, let them pass. The force is with me and I am with the force and I fear nothing. And I'm just like, why would they not continue? Why are they listening to some rambling man?
He's using the force, Kelly.
Oh, okay.
See, this is what you have to pay attention to in this film is the moments where the force comes into play. Because there are no Jedis in this movie. Or are there?
Well, Churrit is definitely a Jedi.
Sure, it is a Jedi. But the Jedi Order doesn't exist anymore. They've already been wiped out.
Yeah.
So pay attention to moments like that, because this is one of the major moments where, I mean, Churrit is constantly using the Force. How does he see?
Although, I do think that every time that I'm like, how is this happening? It's always the Force.
Yeah, it's a really good plot device to fill in, you know. But in this movie, I do think it's very intentional.
Yeah. So, yeah, the stormtroopers tell him to stop, and they start shooting at him, but then he starts beating them up, and then I wrote, somehow a stray bullet hits the ones holding Jin and Cassian and then they go and hide.
Yeah. But Churrit's fight style is cool. It was a cool battle.
It is cool. Yeah. No, I like him. He's fun. And then more stormtroopers arrive and then I wrote some guy shoots them down. I think his name was Baze.
Yeah.
He's friends with Churrit and K2 takes off the handcuffs that Jin and Cassian have and he's like, I'm sorry, Cassian, about slapping you. And then Cassian is just like, go back to the ship. Wait for my call. So he doesn't even accept his apology.
Yeah.
So then they go up to Churrit and Baze and Cassian is like, is he a Jedi? And Baze is like, no Jedi are here anymore. Only dreamers like this fool. And then Churrit is like, the Force protected me though. And the guy's like, I protected you. I don't know what you're talking about. So then Jin is like, can you guys take us to Saw? And then a bunch of people swarm them, which are definitely not the Empire. They're the rebel guys that are maybe not rebels. And Churrit is like, you can't tell that we're not the Empire. And one guy is like, tell that to the one who killed killed our man, which is Cassian, when he shot them.
Yeah.
So then they're being taken, and Jin is like, anyone who kills me will have to answer to Saw Gerrera because I'm the daughter of Galen Erso. And they get hoods put on them and they're taken away. And Chirrut is like, I'm blind. What's the point? In that moment, his sassiness, not to bring it back to my three favorite things, Pokemon, Avatar The Last Airbender, and Skyrim, but it did remind me a little bit of Toph from Avatar The Last Airbender.
That's true. That's true. Love Toph.
Yeah, I do love her. And so far, I haven't seen anything that looks like Skyrim, so pretty sad about that.
Yeah, maybe soon. Maybe soon.
So then the Star Destroyer that's over the city leaves, and the crew is walking through the desert, and they go to where Saw's little sand castle is.
Yeah.
And Cassian is put in a cell, and there's this like little gambling den place, because no Star Wars movie is complete without a little gambling den slash bar.
Of course.
And Chirrut and Baze are put there as well, and Chirrut is getting annoying. He is praying frantically, and he just keeps on repeating, I'm one with the Force, and the Force is one with me. I'm one with the Force, and the Force is one with me. I am one with the Force, and the Force is one with me.
I'd lose it.
And Baze is like, yeah, he's praying for the door to open. And Chirrut is like, yeah, you're just annoyed because you know it's possible, and you used to be one of the most devoted guardians.
I like that they have a little conflict between the two of them, but they're still gonna protect each other.
I was wondering if they were either brothers or ex-lovers, because they had a little bit of that, like, I've known you for so long and we have a little tension because we disagree on some stuff.
I like the idea of them being lovers.
Right? Isn't that fun?
Yeah.
I like to find romance everywhere.
I agree.
So then Cassian pulls out what appears to be a lockpick while they're arguing, and Chirrut says some stuff about how, like, they've been in worse prisons, and Cassian carries his wherever he goes.
Mental prison.
And then Jin is brought to Saw, and he's actually really happy to see her, and she's mad at him, and he's like, are we not still friends? And she's like, you ditched me, you left me in this bunker the last time I saw you. And he's like, no, I knew you were safe, like, you were one of my best. And she was like, I was 16. And he's like, I was protecting you, everybody knew who you were, and people wanted to start ransoming you, so, you know, it was in your best interest that I dipped out.
And that I just leave you and don't explain any of this.
Yeah. And then he starts to get weirdly paranoid, and he's like, is it a trap? Did they send you to kill me? And she's like, the Alliance wants Galen. They think he sent a message, and they were hoping that you, Saw, would give it to me, Jin.
Yeah.
And he asks her what she wants, and she's like, they just wanted an introduction, and they got it, and now I'm gonna leave. And he's like, do you not care about the cause? And she says, all the Alliance ever brought her is pain.
Yeah, took her family away.
And then he asks if she can stand to see the Imperial flag flying across the galaxy, and she's like, it's not a problem if you don't look up, which, the reluctant hero.
Yeah, she's a good reluctant hero, because she's just had to kind of scrap her whole life, you know? She was raised as a fighter, which is different than the other heroes we've seen before, you know? Luke was a farmer, Rey was a scavenger. She's a fighter. She has skills that they don't have, but, you know, she can't think about the rebellion because she's just trying to stay alive.
So meanwhile, we have the Empire looking at a planet, which is the planet called Jeddah? I don't even remember.
Yeah.
Okay. Because there's also Jeddah City within Jeddah.
Oklahoma City, you know.
We have Earth and Earth City, of course.
I've never been to Earth City.
And Tarkin says that the Emperor is waiting for his report, and Krennic is like, you'd think that the Emperor and Darth Vader would want to be here for this big occasion. And Tarkin's like, yeah, I thought I would spare you the embarrassment. And Krennic is like, your concern is hardly warranted. And he wants to blow up the whole planet, but then he's like, we don't have to do that much. We can just blow up the city. So let's blow up Jeddah City and fire on it. So meanwhile, Chirrut, back in prison, is saying that there's someone in the next cell, and Baze sees that it's an Imperial pilot, and he starts trying to strangle him, but Cassian realizes that that's the guy he actually needs information from.
It's the
Imperial pilot. So he pulls him off, and he tries talking to him, but the guy is not responsive because he went a little crazy from
Bor Gullet,
the squid man. And Cassian is like, do you know the name Galen Erso? And then the guy, I guess, snaps out of his insanity somehow magically, and he's like, I brought the message, I'm the pilot. And then Cassian says, where is Galen Erso? And then we cut to Saw showing Jin the message from Galen. And he's like, if you're seeing this, maybe there's a chance to save the Alliance. If you can find Jin, I'm not sure if she's alive, but just let her know I love her and I miss her. And then he has this whole aside for Jin, which I thought was weird, because, like, what are the odds of her seeing it? But, like, of course, that's she true. Magically sees it.
It's the Force.
But yeah, it's like a whole thing where he, like, explains to her specifically, not to Saw, which he should have been explaining, why he did what he did. He couldn't kill himself. himself because he knew that at some point they would realize that they could do it without him. So he wanted to make himself invaluable to them. He pretended basically that he was just thrown back into the work and he accepted it. And he made the Star Destroyer, but he did it with a plan for revenge. And it's called the Death Star. And he placed a weakness in it that's so small that they'll never find it, which is the reactor key. And it's well hidden. It's very unstable. And one blast to any part of it will destroy the whole station.
So the reason why he would say this message to Jin would be because Saw was supposed to take Jin.
Oh, that's true.
As far as he knows, Jin would have been with Saw. If she's still alive, that's where he would assume she'd be.
Yeah. I always think it's just so annoying when everything is like conveniently perfect.
Yeah.
So then the Death Star blows up Jedha City because the sky goes dark. There's actually like this really cool little eclipse moment that I liked. Mm-hmm. And it explodes. Cassian gets himself out of the cell with his little lockpick, which I don't even know if it was a lockpick because he just pressed a button and it opened the door.
Well, I think he had to lockpick it and then rewires the...
Fair. Yeah, and he calls for K2 to come get him, and he has to go look for Jin, and he tells the Jedi guys to get the pilot because they also need him for his information. So he gets Jin, and he's like, I know where your dad is. Oh, at this point, she like kind of collapsed with sadness.
Yeah, I think she's just very overwhelmed.
Which I totally get. I would be there too, just sitting on the floor.
You'd be pretty whelmed.
I would be 100% over the whelm line. And Saw is like, you gotta go with him. You have to save yourself. And she's like, come with us. And he's like, I can't. Why? Why can't he?
No idea. Makes
he didn't
no
even
sense.
Do anything like, oh, I have to go turn off this thing. He's just like, I'm out. And then he like rips off his inhaler and he dies.
Yeah, that's silly.
So yeah, everyone's running out of the building. It's crumbling and they see the city exploding ahead of them and they get onto the ship that K2 brought over. They bring the pilot and then they start flying off. And that's when Saw lets himself die for whatever reason, but they managed to get out in time. And the Empire crew, they're watching, and Tarkin is like, I guess I owe you an apology to Krennic. And he's like, yeah, I'm gonna take over the weapon because I've been talking about this for a while and you also kind of suck, so I'm just gonna do it. And Krennic starts freaking out, but Tarkin is like, no, you've been letting people mess up like under your watch for a while and you took a long time, so no, I'm gonna take it over.
I love this. He's like, I'm just gonna let Vader know that I did all of this.
Yeah.
I'm the best. And he also said something about, like, you let the pilot go. And by the way, that pilot came from Galen's place. Mm. So Galen's probably, you know, sending messages out.
Yeah, yeah. Which comes back to haunt us later.
Yes, it does.
So then, meanwhile, the Rebel base gets a message that the weapon is confirmed and Jedha is destroyed. Well, the city of Jedha is destroyed. But I guess they made it kind of sound like the whole planet. But they did say that the mission target is located on Eidu. And they asked, please advise, what do we do? And the guys like tell them to proceed with haste and keep to the plan. We have no idea what Galen's building for the Empire, so we have to kill him while we have the chance. Which I totally get from their perspective. That seems like the smartest plan.
Oh, for sure. But I think that if Cassian gave them the information that Jin had, then they would maybe rework the plan. But I don't think Cassian believes her.
As we find out in this next scene, because we've got the crew all on the ship and Churrit is like, oh, is the whole city gone? And Baze is like, yeah, they're gone.
That was sad because they live there. You know, that's their home.
Yeah. And the pilot introduces himself and I guess he's just not crazy anymore, even though he lost his mind, but he found it. So we're good.
Yeah. He got the keywords he needed. The message, the pilot, you know.
Yeah. And this was the point where I was like, he was in that HBO series.
Yeah. And I remember the name of it now. It was called The Night Of.
The Night Of.
And it was really sad.
It was beautifully done.
Yeah, it was.
And unsettling.
Mm-hmm.
So Jin is also feeling very motivated now that she's seen her dad's message because she knows how to defeat the Death Star. So she starts telling them and Cassian's like, wait, you have the message, right? And she's like, no, I don't have it. Like everything was going on. It was a little overwhelming. And he's like, so you don't have it? And she's like, do you not believe me? And he's like, I'm not the one you have to convince. And then she tells them that they can blow up the Star Destroyer if they do XYZ with the reactor key.
Yeah.
And Churrit is like, I believe her.
Yeah, and I believe everything that Churrit believes.
Same. because he knows the Force. So then Jin is like, we have to send out a message. And Cassian's like, this is not safe. We're like right in the middle of Imperial territory. And she's like, all right, then we have to go find my dad and we have to bring him back so we can tell them himself. So then they head to Eadu. And my question is this the place where Palpatine was in episode 9?
No, that planet was Exegol.
Oh, yeah, Exegol. Same environment, though.
Yeah, similar.
It's like a stormy, crazy, dark planet.
Yeah.
So they have to avoid being seen on the radar, so they have to go in a dangerous way.
Which isn't great.
It's not great. Yeah, they do end up crash landing, and K2 is not having it. He's like, die. Here's the odds of us dying.
They're high.
They, I guess with their crash landing, their comm goes down, so the signal goes dead for the Rebel base, and they send people out to Eadu. And so Cassian and the pilot have to go off, and I don't know exactly what they said to the rest of the people that they have to do, because I know that Cassian wants to kill Galen, but what was he saying to everybody else?
Sort of just like a scouting mission. Like, okay. They just wanted to see what was up, see who was there, but Cassian had a clear plan, and Bodhi was the best person to take with him because Bodhi knows the planet, because this is where Bodhi was stationed.
And he also knows what Galen looks like.
That too, yeah.
So then K2 stays behind. He's trying to fix the comm so that they can get back to the Rebel base. And we've also got Churrit and Baze. And Churrit says, does he have the face of the killer when Cassian walks away? And Baze is like, no, he has the face of a friend. And they ask why. And he's like, the Force moves darkly around people who are about to kill. And K2 is like, oh yeah, that's weird, because his rifle was actually set to sniper before he left.
Oh, K2. Giving up all the info.
Yeah, very good of him to notice. So Jin knows what's up, so she starts running after them. And now Churrit starts running after her, and he's like, I gotta follow her, her path is clear. And Baze is like, oh yeah, good luck with that. And he's like, I don't need luck, I have you. And then he has to follow, so that's why I was like, maybe they're lovers.
They're in love. I think they could be in love.
Right?
Imagine that's like his son.
That would be weird. I don't know, like, do you have that sort of back and forth with your kid? Probably not.
Yeah.
Although, I don't know, maybe when you're an adult. I don't know. I'm gonna say that they're lovers. So yeah, everyone's heading over, and Jin finds this giant ladder to a platform where all the bad guys are, which is very convenient. Yeah. And the pilot sees Galen through his binoculars, so he's able to point out which one is Galen to Cassian. And then Cassian is like, go find us a ship that we can leave on. And the pilot is like, I thought we were just scouting. He actually says, I thought we were just looking. And Cassian is like, I'm here, I'm looking, now go. So then we see Krennic telling Galen that the battle station is complete, he must be proud. And then Galen is like, I'm as proud as I can be. And he says, gather your engineers, I have an announcement. So they all gather, and Krennic is like, one of you has betrayed the Empire and sent out a pilot, so whoever it is, step forward. And then we also see, it's kind of like a tense moment, so a lot of stuff is happening at once. Cassian has a lock on Galen, so he could potentially snipe him right now. Nobody says anything of the engineers, so Krennic is like, all right, so I guess it's a group effort, so I'll just kill all of you. So then all of his stormtroopers in black aim, and then he yells fire, and then Galen runs out, and he's like, stop, it was me, I was the one who sent him out, please spare the engineers, they had nothing to do with this, they didn't even know about it. And then Cassian is about to shoot, but for whatever reason he stops, because he just can't do it, he's too good of a guy.
He's such a good guy at this point. What I think at this point is he believes Jin. He's starting to think about it, it's been ruminating, and he says, maybe we don't have to kill him.
Although he's willing to kill his friends, so.
Well, that guy was gonna die anyway.
If I'm about to die, would you kill me?
Honestly, Galen was about to die anyway, so
yeah,
whatever.
Seriously, he should just kill them. So yeah, Krennic has his people fire on the engineers anyway, so they all go down. And then he smacks Galen, and he's like, how do I know the weapon's complete? Let me share some details. And then Jin sneaks on the platform, and there's a stormtrooper standing there that she just knocks off the platform and takes his gun.
Bye.
Very convenient. And K2 fixes the comm. He tells Cassian that the Alliance is coming, and Cassian's like, hold off, Jin is on the platform. And then we see Krennic telling Galen that Jedha is gone, and Galen's like, you'll never win. He's like, where have I heard that before? From your dead wife? He doesn't say that, but it's implied.
Yeah.
But here's my thought. If that happened 15 years ago, I would not remember that.
But it was also the last moment of his wife's life, so he might remember it.
Yeah, I guess
it's probably pretty traumatic.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. So then the Rebel base guy hears the request to hold off, because he says that some of the Alliance is on the platform, but the Alliance is already engaged. It's too late. So they start shooting.
fighting. And for some reason, now Cassian cares about Jin and he has to go save her. So Jin runs out and she screams, "Father!" And then he turns around and Krennic raises his weapon to shoot, but then an Alliance ship shoots them and blows that area up.
Well, my reasoning, and you're going to hate what I'm about to say, that Cassian doesn't want Jin to die, mm-hmm. is now that they're in the presence of these really strong Force users, or at least one really strong Force user in Churrit, the Force is now surrounding all of them. And there's a greater mission that all these people need to go on. They all have an important role. And I think it's the Force controlling Cassian to want to save Jin.
Womp, womp, womp.
Yeah, I knew you were going to hate it.
So
but that's
dumb.
What I think it is, being around the Force.
How many people are going to yell at me in the comments and be like, "You're just being mad because you don't like this movie"?
Yeah.
Well, it's true. You're absolutely right. I'm mad about the dumbest things because I don't like this movie. It's a dumb movie.
We'll see if you like the second half. We'll see if the characters grow on you.
Yeah, maybe they will. I don't know. Well, you know who actually ended up growing on me a lot? And I think it actually took until after, because I don't know if I told you this, but I did watch it again, the third movie. Yeah, what? I watched it. It was just on TV. And I loved Anakin, who I hated in the first trilogy, especially in movies 2 and 3. So, I mean, they grew on me after the fact, and I loved that story. In fact, I actually just bought, and it just arrived, a Mustafar poster.
Oh, yeah, you sent me a picture.
That is my favorite lightsaber battle.
I think what's powerful about it is that there's two blue lightsabers. There's something about that really hits home for me.
Very cool. But yeah, all that to say, retroactively, I take back everything bad I said about Anakin. I still didn't love the romance, but I feel like in the third movie, I was like, okay, they're definitely in love with each other.
Yeah, I agree with that. I just think that Padme's stupid.
It was awkward.
She could have done way better.
And also, I think the crush on Hayden Christensen does hold up.
At least when he goes evil.
When he goes evil! Oh my gosh, it's good. It's not even that he's evil, it's that his hair is better.
The hair is good in the third movie.
The hair is better.
I agree.
Maybe I'll like it after, I don't know.
Yeah.
But we'll see. So these TIE fighters get sent out from the Empire and they start firing on the rebels, and Jin is on the ground, she wakes up, and someone pulls Krennic up and runs away with him, and Churrit starts firing on the TIE fighters using the Force, and Krennic sees everyone like laying on the platform. He assumes that Galen is dead and he flies off, and the Force of his ship flying away almost blows Jin off of the platform, but she climbs back up. So very low tension moment.
Yeah.
And she runs to her dad, but he is dying, and she's like, "I saw your message." And he's like, "Oh, Stardust, I love you." And he's like, "It has to be destroyed." And she says, we'll destroy it." And he's like, "I have so much to tell you." And then he dies.
Oh, I sometimes cry at this moment, but I didn't this time.
No way, really?
I'm too tired to cry today.
I feel that. So yeah, so she starts crying at least, and she's like shaking him, trying to wake him up. And there's like a battle happening behind her, which I do think was a very cool shot.
Yeah.
The stormtroopers being shot down behind her, and she doesn't even care.
Yeah, she just wants her daddy.
Daddy, oh, sorry, daddy. Bye, daddy one.
Daddy died. Daddy one is dead.
Daddy one is gone.
Daddy two is gonna die in the next movie. He dies on Alderaan when it gets blown up.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I didn't even think about that.
They don't really make a moment of it because he didn't, like, exist in episode 4. But
that's true. Oh,
Daddy
that's
Organa
sad.
Does die on Alderaan.
Oh, bye, Daddy number 2.
And then Daddy number 3 dies.
All right, I'm going to stop us now. So, yeah, so we end with Cassian grabbing her, and he's like, "We got to go." And she's like, "I can't leave him." And he starts pulling her away, and she's like, "I can't leave him." But then she does.
Yeah.
And then they get onto the ship where K2 and the pilot are, and the pilot actually shoots down an Empire ship, and K2 is like, "Well done, you're a rebel now." So yeah, everyone gets onto the ship and they fly off. And that is the end of the section.
Yep. And everyone was there. So Churrit and Baze were there. Our little rebel crew all made it off. And I wonder what they'll do next.
All thanks to the Force.
Yeah, it's all the Force. The Force is with them and they are with the Force.
Yes. And may the Force of others be with them.
So you hated it.
I hated it. Oh my gosh. I always say this because you keep on making me watch war movies, but I don't like war movies.
I do actually like war movies.
I'm starting to get that based on what we've been watching. So what are my predictions? What's going to happen? Here's the thing. The Death Star does not get blown up until the fourth movie.
Right.
So that's not going to happen. So well, I guess the whole point of this movie is to get that information to Leia.
Yeah.
Which I hope they don't CGI her because that would be embarrassing.
Yeah.
They're going to. Oh no, they're going to.
Oh, no.
Carrie Fisher gave them permission.
Oh, okay. Okay. That's better than nothing.
It's not a huge plot point. Don't even think about the CGI Leia.
Well, I will say, I do think that Jin and Cassian are going to get together, but I don't like them.
Yeah, I do.
And you know, I love a morally gray character. I love an anti-hero. That's why I love Han Solo so much.
Yeah.
He was my favorite character in the original trilogy.
I do think that Cassian crosses the line a little bit, but I love Cassian. I don't know what it is.
I just don't like that he picks and chooses when he's going to be morally gray. I don't know. It's just like, be morally gray and commit to it.
Yeah.
Like Han Solo, I feel like he is morally gray, but he knows in his heart that he's got to be a good guy, and that motivates him. Cassian, I cannot tell.
Yeah, it's hard to see his motivation, but I don't know. I still stand by him killing the rebel in the beginning because him keeping that guy alive would have potentially killed a lot of other people.
Yeah.
And he did it in the sort of like of Mice of Men way, where it's like, look at the rabbits. Look at the rabbits, Lenny. And then he kills him. So
I just didn't like that he kind of did it like with a lover's voice. Like he was like pressed up against him and he was like, it's okay.
Don't worry, baby. You'll be fine.
Calm down, baby. It was questionable. I don't know. It was just weird. At first I was like, ooh, an anti-hero. I love to see it. But then I was like, no, actually, I don't like him. No reason why. I just don't like him.
I like that you like K2, and I hope you like Chirrut and Baze at some point because I really like them.
I do. I like Chirrut and Baze. I like their dynamic with each other. I like Chirrut a lot, even though he does get a little bit annoying with the Force, but why wouldn't he be? He has the Force behind him.
Yeah.
That's an incredible power, and he's got it.
And it's interesting for him to be such an open Force user when being a Jedi is illegal and he could get killed for it.
He's a guy, I would call him a baddie, but I've been calling bad guys baddies, so I won't call him that, but he's like what I would call a baddie in real life.
Yeah.
Like, he does not care.
He's so incredibly brave, and him having no sight and being so powerful is really cool.
So, yeah, that's it. We'll come back next week, and maybe my mind will change. I don't know.
I'm keeping my fingers crossed. I'm going to use the Force and hope that you like the movie.
Feel free to hate me in the comments, everybody. You can be mad at me.
Yeah.
It's not the movie itself. It's just the premise of the movie I don't think is my scene, you know?
Yeah, the war is a lot.
It's a lot.
Maybe the second half will have some redemption.
Okie dokie. Well, we'll find out next week.
See ya next week.
Bye.
You've been listening to the It's All Geek to Me podcast, hosted by Leah and Kelly. Make sure to hit subscribe in your favorite podcast player and give us a rating. You can also follow us on Twitter @AllGeekPodcast. New episodes drop every Thursday. See you next week.